All right, now we should be live. Fixing your hair. Cool. Well, welcome to the Horror Makes Us Happy live chat. This is number 7, chatting with Mr. Billy Pond. And actually, you know what? What the hell just happened? I just had, great, a pop-up took over my screen. Give me 1 second. Perfect timing.
The Russians.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. I'm watching the live chat and there's a delay.
Yeah.
Did you click on a thing?
I did, and it opened in the wrong window, so it like all jacked up. Come on.
We're professionals.
Yes. Comedy of errors. So, sorry. Mr. Billy Pond and Ms. Kelly Wilson.
Is that
Wilson?
Howie Mandel?
I'm sorry?
What's that?
The body guy.
I don't know who that is. We have no idea. I bought it on a marketplace.
One of our many Facebook marketplace treasures.
Like $5.
Yeah.
I had to have it.
So we.
Nigo because he looks scary.
I scare the girls scare the ladies, when I go up to somebody's door, it freaks them out.
So I have to go.
So, Billy, we interviewed you back in 2021, which is, God, 5 years ago now. It seems, doesn't realize that, that long ago, yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
We're going into our 7th season now.
And that movie's blown up like crazy since then. Mm-hmm. Like, Circus of the Dead's like, as good as it was doing back then, it's like crazy. It's like the opposite of blockbuster movies. As far as like superhero movies, it's like, it takes a while to build, you know. Whereas blockbusters are the hottest when they first come out, and then they kind of start going down. But it's the opposite for indie. When you got
slow
a good
burn.
One.
Yeah. I would prefer that, because then, you know, it starts off kind of slow and then it just keeps getting better.
Yep, yep.
Well, I say this. People call bullshit on it, but if I had a choice of making a movie that made a lot of money or a movie that people liked, I'd rather make a movie that people liked, because I'd be embarrassed to make something bad, you guys.
I'm sure the rivalry, quote unquote rivalry, with Terrifier hasn't hurt any. A lot of social media stuff going back and forth.
Yeah, I've got to know him better, I guess, since then. The past 5 years, I met him and hung out and talked to him. David's supposed to even do a cameo part in Circus of the Dead too.
Yep, nice. I heard that. Yep.
So I love the guys a lot. They're good dudes.
Yeah, they're just normal people. They're nice.
They're getting their asses handed to them with all the red tape and bullshit now, but I think that comes with success and everything, so I wish them well with that. It's like the more success you get, the more bullshit that comes out of the money, you know what I mean?
I was thinking the same thing.
More problems.
Yep. Cool. Well, when we interviewed you back in 21, so for those who are maybe finding this after the fact or had not seen our previous interview, sort of our theme, the way we handle our interviews, is a little different. Instead of talking to you about your body of work, we talk about what you were a fan of and some personal experiences and stuff like that. And after going through all that, we kind of try to see if we can identify any common themes or elements that keep cropping up and what that speaks to you as a person. And for you, sort of the three things that really came up the most were enjoying horror as a sense of escape. You were also... sort of redefining your own masculinity because you had had some, you know, interaction with your father, and also affirming life. There was some stuff in there that
Farming wife.
Yes, a farming wife.
Farming wife. Farmers only.
Wife farms, or like you're farming for a wife, like how you farm in MMOs. You know, don't worry about me. I'm not low rank.
So I guess the first question I wanted to ask is, do you? Looking back over the last couple of years, do you see those topics cropping up in any of the work that you've done since then or any of the media that you have enjoyed since then?
I guess it's the same. I mean, life definitely got better. I was in a pretty dark place then, coming off a divorce and the cancer deal and all that. So I've grown a lot, and I think emotionally and mentally and all that I'm in a way better place. But I still put myself in a dark place when I write and such like that. So I've been writing like crazy. So on Circus of the Dead. And honestly, within the past 2 weeks, I finally hit a place with the movie script that I'm finally happy. And that's tough. So I could have had 12 different movies, different Church of the Dead 2 movies. But, you know, me and Lee started part two, you know, a week after we wrote the first one back in 2013. So it's been a long time coming, but I think I'm really happy with this new script a lot.
Cool. Good. So what's next in terms of the process, shall we say?
We're going to film it. Bill Oberst Jr. landed a big series. I'm not sure if it's Netflix or whatever, but it's and he's tied up till May. So I know that's for sure. So we're going to just start trying to get the contracts and stuff ready and
Still right the bills the
and get it going. So, what's that?
I said May's still right around the corner. That's soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, still soon. Yeah, you blink your eyes. Same thing with Frightmare and all that. So we're just going to start filming. I'm lucky that we're filming here in a small town, and I got a giant empty haunted house, like 8,000 square feet, where I can build the sets in this time myself and stuff.
No, so shit.
Yeah, so I can build all that in there, and I already got all the wood from haunted houses and stuff. So
nice.
Yeah.
It's making it fit the script and stuff like that. So all the interiors. But like the first movie, the interiors were the clown trailer interior was inside a warehouse that we built. And
so, oh, really? You built that from scratch?
Yeah, built it
all. It was like on a sound set?
Yeah, you'd call it that. It's just more empty. It's just basically an empty warehouse, you know. But
yeah.
But doing haunted houses, you kind of build basically little scenes, hundreds of little scenes every year, whatever. So it's kind of, it kind of comes along with it. That's why I like haunted houses. It kind of prepares you for movie making.
Yeah.
You know, because I try to put everybody into their own movie when they go through my haunted houses.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a couple different elements that work there. And I mean, you've got the set building, you've got costume, you've got story design, you've got
lighting, sound.
Character backstories.
Yeah.
Casting those characters,
yeah,
all that stuff.
It's an interesting take. I never really thought about that with haunts.
Well, just before we even did it, it was a Circus of the Dead Murder Maze is what my haunt was called.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where we come up with all the characters and stuff. And Dollboy.
So the film kind of came from that maze, from the haunt?
Yeah, the film actually come about because of Tarantino and Rodriguez's movie Death Proof. No, Death Proof and, well, what is it?
Planet
Terror. Grindhouse.
Yeah, Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They did a fake trailer contest, and I did and in 2007, we did a fake trailer called Circa de la Muerte, you know. But it was because of my inspiration with Sid Haig and Captain Spaulding. You know, I thought, wow, he's just kind of a cool clown. It's not like he's, you know, mystical or fake or anything like that. He's just a real person that just happens to kill people. And that kind of started the whole backstory of everything.
I do vaguely recall you bringing that up in the prior interview that we did with you, the Grindhouse, and how helpful it was to go through that process of creating a fake trailer for the same reasons that we just talked about. You know, doing a haunt forces you to go through a number of different steps, but also I think you had said something about how the process of making a fake trailer also shows you what your weaknesses are.
That's exactly right, Steve. 100%. And Kelly and I teach out at Frightmare every year a filmmaking 101, and that's kind of where we've been tailoring it to. We also host the fake trailer showcase out there, and we get about 25 people that make about 25 different ones a year. But, and I mean from kids like 12 years old to people in their 80s, it kind of covers the whole gambit. But I think it's important to start there. All this technical stuff is in your hands. I mean, even you guys, your phones or anything. You know, if you go back to when I was young and stuff like that, you didn't, unless you're going to draw a picture of it on a piece of paper, that's about all you had at your disposal, you know, any given day.
So I mean, maybe you have an 8mm or something like that, or like, you know, some kind of actual film stuff, but
it was tough to come by, yes. But that's what I would say is kind of do your own fake trailer. But we did that for Grindhouse, and it went pretty good. And then I said, okay, well, let's do a short before we do a movie. So we did the Dollboy short, which tied into this world. And then after the short, it did good. And I said, well, let's do the movie. But here I am 10 years later and finally doing a part two. But I've set myself up in life. It's not movie making is now my day job. So, I mean, I've set up. So if this goes smooth and does even average or okay, I think we could do this more often. Our goal would be to be making two movies every 3 years from here on out.
Nice.
Is what we're trying to do, yeah.
That's a realistic goal.
I think so.
Yeah, two or three is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. it's just enough to keep you afloat, to keep that as your prime occupation, and yeah, just be able to be doing what you love for a living.
From the
Chris, you're going to get killed with when it comes to distribution and stuff, because that's where all these indie guys are having trouble, is you're getting kind of screwed on the back end.
Right, because like what you got to remember, what you raise to make a film is going to be about like half to two thirds movie, but a good chunk of it, at least half to one third, is the distribution on the back end.
Well, you're not going to make it's as much as I'm making in funding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make that back in a movie.
Yeah.
If Lightning in a Bottle happens like the Terrifier 2 did or something, mm-hmm. then maybe. But mm-hmm. the distribution people, they kind of cheat in their own way where it doesn't. It's like they're really not even interested in Blu-rays and DVDs anymore. They go strictly for VOD mostly. Yeah, so they left me a lot of DVD and stuff like that. And it's like, I've done good. We sell Circus of the Dead stuff at least every other day, where people are ordering posters and things and mm-hmm. fans and stuff. So I think it's just more of a grassroots thing. And I'm okay with that for the rest of my life. If it doesn't turn into, you know, big blockbusters or something, it's okay, as long as, you know, I have that core of real horror fans like myself that appreciate what I do. Mm-hmm. I'll keep doing it.
We've got people on our Discord server that I remember there's one guy who was doing some sort of piece of artwork where he wanted to draw a bunch of different clowns. And I know he had mm-hmm. some of yours on there. It's definitely well known. For chat, we've got a couple people stopping in chat. Says the Indie Escape Network, my brother Bloody Bill and Kelly, we're looking forward to speaking again. Joe Ridgely.
Says you are a wealth of knowledge in the community.
Yes. If anybody in chat has any questions, feel free to drop them in, and we'll see if we can keep an eye on the chat.
Let's go back to that artist thing, too. It's like, I know some of those guys are getting slammed. There's good side and bad side. Is sometimes people ask, can I, draw your clown and stuff like that? Mm. And I always say, abso-freaking-lutely, you know?
Mm.
I'll even let them sell limited prints and stuff like that on their own, too. But it's like some of them will take it a little too far, and then they start selling a bunch of things. It's like, to me, it's be respective when, you know, somebody's letting you do it for free, because what's happening now is the bigger ones are sending out cease and desist on certain things, mm-hmm. and it gets tough, you know? And my thing is if you're using AI, I'm not interested.
No.
Just out of fairness to artists that are drawing it, you know, with their talents. Because I appreciate artists, and I really try to give them a little bit. If I can't pay an arm and a leg for something, I'll at least give something. Mm-hmm. You know, at least give a handy or something. But
just going to pause you for a moment there and say I believe the person we're talking about might still be in school. So it was definitely fan art, not something that you would need to worry about them.
No, and I wouldn't. That's what I'm telling you is I like it. And even if they use, hey, Billy, can I use a clip of your movie in the background playing on a TV in my movie? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll sign for it and stuff.
Nice.
So I do all that stuff. Same thing with any music my band records or anything. I'm okay with any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And like I tell people, is the only time it turns out not to be good is when you're trying to make money off of, you know, the stuff. Like
right.
That, you know what I mean? In a bad way. So that's all I try to say.
Yeah.
But no, I support all artists and, you know, good or bad or whatever, and try to do, you know, my best. I'm harsh on indie filmmakers. I feel like a lot of stuff gets phoned in and isn't very good. And I think Circus of the Dead 1 was horrible. I wish that people would really strive to up their game to somewhat. Just because you made a film, you know, cool, pat yourself on the back, you know, but let's not give out, you know, participation trophies.
Where I was going with that is even with that, you've still got enough people out there who are interested in it that you've got, you know, somebody in school just doing it for fan art because they love the character.
Yeah.
So,
well, Steve, too, if these kids write, or if I'm on some kind of weird group and somebody posts about it and I say something about the comment and they find out I'm the director and writer and stuff, and they'll freak out and get so excited, because a lot of people like me don't talk to the little guys, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I will. I'll even snag their addresses and send them stuff sometimes just to surprise them and stuff, because I think that every fan I have, I either built them because they really love the movie, or I built them because they love the movie and I was really nice to them.
No, it's because they like him.
Yes.
It's not the movie. It's him.
Yeah. Well, I hope the movie had something to do. I know the one perfect thing about Circus of the Dead was Bill Overs Jr.
Yes.
Yeah. So that character was awesome. Awesome.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can relate because I feel the same way about our podcast. We don't have a huge audience either, and a lot of the growth that we have had has been through individual outreach. When I see people posting looking for, hey, I'm looking for a horror podcast, and I'll throw my hat in the ring and tell them about what we're doing, and if they're interested, they come check it out. And it's been slow growth, but it's been real growth compared to I'm not paying for any 10,000 bots to come follow us kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the psychology approach is really good, Steve. Yeah, I think it is unique because I've been on a lot of them, and I like the ones too, like the Chris Farley thing. It's like, Billy, you remember when you showed the clown penis? I like that stuff too. I like the fanboy ones and stuff like that. But the one thing I learned about horror people and horror fans in general is it's just some really damn good people. Mm-hmm. Like on the outside, people that wouldn't know better. Like Steve, you said you weren't into horror too much, but I'm telling you, the nicest, sweetest, most kindest people in the world watch the most, repugnant, crazy shit. It's the weirdest thing. I can't explain it. I think it's the ones that say it's not good and try to hide it. You know how that goes.
Yes. The church ladies
that say you
should. Isn't it funny how that works? The people that are into it are the nicest, most down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth people ever. And the people that hate it.
And another thing that has come up in the couple of years that we've been doing this, and this actually came up on the interview we recorded earlier today, that a lot of people in the mainstream world don't seem to understand that there is not a whole lot of overlap between the horror community and true crime community, and that these are two separate genres.
I don't feel like they're it's the same thing, because most horror is based off true crime. What were we watching the other day? And I was like, that's where Ryan Murphy got that idea. What was it?
Different Strokes?
No.
Tarzan Bakish one at the store with Everybody Loves Raymond's Dad, where he had Arnold and Dudley in the back of the room.
Thing is, there's a lot of horror fans who, once you tell them that it's based on reality, they're not interested anymore. Like, I don't want reality in my horror. I want it to be fantasy. For a lot of people to be... What's that?
Well, she was saying that too, like the Ed Gein and stuff. And I'll say this too, is the new... The part two is, I don't like to give much away, but it is very, 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 very true crime-ish. And you'll see when you get to watch it. Yeah. Hmm. It's basically
going like a kind of like from House of a Thousand Corpses to Devil's Rejects, like a little bit more gritty and more realistic, less technicolor.
Yeah, it's definitely that. It's definitely the first movie, but hopefully executed better, if that makes sense.
That does. And I didn't mean to like downplay the first one by my description there. It's,
not
realistic, but like more.
I just feel like I just wanted to push it more. And every movie I watch, I seen this TikTok video where this woman was talking about, if you do this, it would make you a good filmmaker. And it's like all the five things listed. You know what I'm talking about? And about like critiquing other films and dissecting them and stuff like that. And I've done that with Terrifier a lot, And it ain't no secret, but it's like their effects and stuff to me are legendary, awesome stuff. It just gets you excited. But it's like somebody goes, the plot or the story, I haven't seen it yet. I'm still trying to find it in there, but that's what we're doing. We're putting the plot in the story, which I think we're good at, but now we're trying to get up to production level of Terrifiers, where they are, and that's how I think I can make a good movie. The first one I was shooting for just making a good movie of my own, but now I'm kind of, and I know people might say this is bad, but not that I'm doing fan service, is I've listened to the fans for 10 years and where they, how they feel about these characters. And that's what I want to pay off for them. And also my co-writer has passed away, my best friend in the world, Lee Ankrum. And what he always wanted us to do is, that's why I said, let's just do something for the fans. And if it's not financially profitable, if it's a kick in the balls to everybody instead, that would be just, hunky dory for me, Because I want it to be that movie that just punches you in the gut, don't forget. When you leave, you don't forget, and it's like gravy stuck on your ribs for the rest of your life. Yeah.
If you make a film where at the end people just sit there for a minute, like,
what happened? Yeah.
Well, it should happen. So hopefully, like I said, when we do we're going to do a local premiere down here, is when we filmed the first one, there was this old, y'all remember the theater scene? The old Ector Theater that was in the movie, is old fashioned theater, drive-in movie. No, I mean, just a walk-in theater kind of thing. Okay. Well, they built a billion-dollar hotel, six-story hotel, adjoined to it now. Yeah. But then redid that. So I think we're going to screen the new one there and do it and have all the people from the first movie, the second movie, Dollboy and all that, for all the real fans to come down here to where we filmed it, do some film tours, meet all the actors for free and get things signed, you know. Not a convention, but like a celebration of all things Circus of the Dead, in case this is the last go-around. So,
like a release party, kind of.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. You guys need to do what you got to do to save and get the hell down here. So you guys that take care of me on this will make sure they get passes and stuff. You just find a way down, you know. Okay. So hitchhike, blow some truckers, and get your way.
Ask gas or grass. That's how it works. You know, it's, what is it? The first rule in the book?
Yeah. It's, that was one of my favorite lines. I've written that into like three or four scripts. Some of those scripts is with some other people that I don't deal with anymore, so they kind of fell wayside. But that's the downside. You get some rough people, but that's in every aspect of life, is it not? So you can be getting a Whataburger and be mad at the people in front of you or behind you, so it could happen.
Well, I am screwing up on the chat here. I somehow closed something. Yeah, I closed something, so I can't chat anymore. I can read them, but can't type anything. So point of clarification, what you were saying about Circus of the Dead 2. So what I was saying before about, God dang it, stupid Windows notifications. the difference between horror and true crime. So like there's a difference between being inspired by true crime versus based on. And what I would give an example of that is you mentioned Ed Gein.
I mean,
well, hang on. Okay, hang on. So yes, so Ed Gein inspired Texas Chainsaw, but it's not really so much based on, whereas
I was saying that lands on the inspired by side of the fence,
right, versus like the girl next door, like that's not just
on true events,
right? Like that's kind of where I was going with that there are some fans who like they wouldn't even want to watch The Girl Next Door because they know this is almost exactly based on reality.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Like That exactly. Like I've seen Girl Next Door once, maybe twice, but I'm not really looking to give it a few more rewatches. I've watched Texas Chainsaw countless times. So like a direct recreation of terrible things that happened. You almost kind of don't really want to think about that again because it's awful. But yeah, inspired by it. Fuck yeah, rip that person's face off. Eat it.
Well, let's say without giving, there's a lot of real stuff in Circus of the Dead because playing into the whole real world. There's no supernatural or nothing like that. Is Papa Corn's brought into the fact that he knows other serial killers exist and all, and he wonders how much he exists in the world, you know, what his name's being said and such and so forth. So that's where it plays into there a lot. But I think I've come from that place is if you write a good enough script, you can write a script over a burnt grilled cheese sandwich that we're making and then shit goes wrong or something. So it's like, it's just... I think if you just allow a story to
something,
be natural,
something Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Well, even the Freddy Krueger.
That's burnt pizza.
Yes.
This is blasphemy, you guys. But, like, it's hard holding up now for me when I watch it. And especially those sequels, that's where I say you can go wrong with the fan service. Because they're just pulling off one-liners and stuff like that. And it's like, what if one was really scary?
Oh, I was just joking.
What if one really pushed that?
I was just joking about him. I was just joking about him looking like burnt cheese sandwich. That's all.
Oh yeah. But I'm saying like some of that stuff is like tough, so it's like I appreciate everything that comes before me, but you know what inspires me, it could be a lot of different things, you know, from what I see, and a lot is from the true crime stuff. But even watching the newer ones and stuff, like I'm hearing a lot of stuff about that movie Dolly, but they're not showing it here where I live and I want to see it really bad.
Was that Sean William Scott I saw in the trailer in that?
I don't know.
Somebody else.
Is that the one about the sheep? The clone sheep?
No, Dolly, like a doll face.
That's
Oh.
That's just okay. What I was saying.
That would be a good horror movie. I think it's kind of already been done in Black Sheep, but
let's do
a Dolly horror movie.
They just say it's an old school slasher. It's like somebody granny woman.
Yeah, doll mask. As soon as he reminded me, I realized which one he was talking about.
I'm saying I have it like it's like a, I'm the you remember Starsky and Hutch, a Huggy Bear, the pimp on the street that had his ear on. That's me. With horror, like I've heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't heard anything negative about Dolly yet, so it must be a good movie. If I hear a lot about a movie, they're usually pretty dead on. Before Weapons come out, I start hearing these things, or Midsommar, I start hearing these things about something, and then you find out where it's, you know, where it's hitting and stuff. So like the new Scream, like I didn't hear many good things about it, and it kind of sized up to about
half and half. I've heard you'd say some good, some bad.
Depends on who's doing the listening.
Well, I never got into that because I always thought, here again is blasphemy. I'll probably lose one of my two fans. Is like, I just never thought he could have had his ass whipped. You know, the teenager dressed up in a mask, I would have whipped his ass in high school.
Well, it's a little known fact. The mask actually has little needles on the outer rim of it that inject adrenaline into the face. I think there's some bull hormones in there too, like some super soldier Captain America serum. The mask makes people stronger.
Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, like if some, like these clowns, technically if they just shot popcorn in the head, it'd be done and over with.
Kind of so, yeah. I mean, I guess that's the Achilles heel when you go with realism serial killer over anything paranormal or mystical. It's like, well, why don't you?
We got a new that teaser trailer we put out. Where it shows Art the Clown kind of dancing from behind. Mm-hmm. Did y'all see our trailer yet?
I want to say I've seen that teaser. How long has it been out?
We'll watch it. It's on my YouTube. It's art on there, and then it says it kind of makes it look like coming up again another art movie, but it's Papa shoots him in the head. But a lot of people say, "Yeah, well, you can't kill Art." I go, "Yeah, but he's Art the Clown." When he comes to and he finds out his head's being fucked and it's cut off from his body, and he's going to be really embarrassed. He's going to have a lot of mud on his face.
Shooting, he does.
He
can be incapacitated for a period of time. So yeah, you can totally shoot him in the head.
He would also have motive.
Out of the woodworks, boy. They defend him like crazy, and all my fans are like rebel assholes. They don't give a shit. They'll go burn somebody's house down if you say something bad about Papa. I always got to calm them down. You know, I said, it's okay. It's like,
right? Like,
Papa's not real, you guys. Calm down.
Just like motivate him to get some revenge.
Well, you know, thank God for our...
I mean the character, not your fans.
he really did a lot for the industry as far as indie film-wise. Mm. And it's a great character. I mean, come on, just to even be... mentioned into the icons like he is now. I mean, he's ruling the Spencers and the Hot Topics and all that stuff. You guys know how hard that is to be an indie movie and do that.
I mean, it come from All Hallows Eve. It was All Hallows Eve, wasn't it? Where he was like one of several mini movies in an anthology.
Mini shorts in it. And I received, they sent it back. Somebody sent it to me as a short called The Terrifier. Years ago, another reviewer that doesn't even review anymore, and he said, "You got to check this out. It reminds me of Popcorn." And this was back before any movies were out or anything.
They both kind of have that Pagliacci look, yeah.
Well, because we went back to Lon Chaney and the Laughing Clown or the Clown That Laughed.
Yeah,
that was kind of our motivation for Papa, and because knowing Bill Oberst Jr. too, he loves Lon Chaney and Bela Lugosi. Mm-hmm. He's super in love with that old stuff like that. In fact, I wish somebody would give him a role like that. But
that's
what I always say too. Is it if the only thing my movie does is give Bill Oberst Jr. a bigger platform or an opportunity to do something like that he really deserves, I would be 100% happy and satisfied.
Yep. When we interviewed him, he did express that he was hoping that someone would redo Phantom of the Opera and give him the role.
There you go.
Second.
Yeah.
But see, I listened to it. He's a great actor, right? I mean, hands down, a fucking great actor. But anytime he's nice to me or say he loves me, that's what I tell him. I'm like, you're a fucking good actor, buddy. I can't believe you. I know you're not acting now. But what he doesn't realize is, like, writing this Popcorn is I wrote it so that a way he would be in love with it. Because he's a thoroughbred racehorse, and it's like a... You know, David Howard Thornton, too, is like, give them something they can act with and, you know, talk mm-hmm. and all this, because I think that they're just like, their bodies are just revving to do something like that. So this popcorn mm-hmm. thing's, this new one's got singing in it, and it's got changing it's characters number, within popcorn. Yeah, he's having conversations with different other people. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just really, really going to be good. And the day I let him read this script, I've let him see bits and pieces, but when he reads this script, I already know with all my heart he's going to say, "Holy shit, Billy!" He goes, "I'm going to start this tomorrow," you know. So, I think it's that good, and it continues the legend of Bill Obers Jr. It's
going Bill to hasn't seen the script at all yet.
No, just bits and pieces and stuff.
Okay. Still keeping close to the chest. Yeah. I didn't know you were still in the process of writing it. I thought the script had been done a while ago.
Well, I've been writing it for
10 years. Well, you said 10 years.
Yeah, so.
It's done. He's just been tweaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how that goes.
Names and stuff, you guys. I mean, it's like, you know, and I know you can tweak it too much and have it not, but it's got to be natural and it's got to move me. If it doesn't move me, then I know it's not right.
Yeah.
There's laughs, to the sad stuff, to the grotesque stuff and all that stuff. So
there's an old.
It's going to move people the right way.
There's an old saying that no art is ever finished. You just run out of time.
Exactly, and that's where it is. We're running out of time, so we're getting ready to start. Yeah. But I can't say I'm happy with it. I get turned on mentally when I read this thing. It mm-hmm. makes me laugh, you know. It makes me cry. It mm-hmm. makes me sad. It makes me happy. It's like every part that's supposed to do it is it is going to be a roller coaster for the viewer, you know. And I think that's what a good movie should be, you know. I want them leaving that movie theater saying, "Holy shit, I have to see that again." Mm. You know, there's just so much to take in that I have to see it again.
Well, hopefully the person that just left the comment is correct. He said Toby would be proud.
I concur. Right, unless it was the 80s cocaine engulfed.
Well,
Toby. I wish, it's like, if you back then you could do
it. He'd still be proud. He'd just be very adamantly proud and doing like two other things.
It's not okay to do drugs back.
It wasn't? Oh.
No.
I always thought it was.
Reagan? No.
Yeah, but she was doing Mr. T. True. It wasn't good to cheat on Ronnie either. I'll tell you this, guys, is on that they showed that stuff in the Ed Gein show where Toby mm-hmm. Hooper's in there. I love that stuff. See, I could watch a whole series about Toby Hooper coming up with the idea of Chainsaw Massacre. Did y'all watch the Ed Gein show?
I did. I watched a couple episodes and then I started watching the synopsis. I don't like some of the directions that they went with it, and it was a little weird, and I don't like the voice. I'm sorry. There are audio clips of Ed Gein. Doesn't sound like that. But artistic license, they did something. It's Ryan Murphy. He's going to push things.
I'm not a Ryan Murphy fan, but I guess it caught me and it didn't let me go. But those reenactments of the Toby Hooper stuff, when he was getting rewards and stuff, that was like, awesome. Yeah.
I will give it another rewatch and check out the Toby Hooper stuff, because I heard about that and it sounded cool. Like,
yeah. I know it hurt a lot of the true believers, but I guess, you know, maybe if I was part of that and saw it, it would make me sad too. But it just made me, you know, want to know more about Toby Hooper and that whole thing.
Yeah. Because
how interesting would it have been to be a fly on the wall and just making Chainsaw Massacre? But if you look at that, though, that's where I want to be. Is kind of a cross between Chainsaw 1 and Chainsaw 2.
Okay.
Kind of in the middle. I like the humor, but I like the seriousness too of 1, and then if there was humor, it'd be kind of more dark and tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
So that's where I always try to put Circus of the Dead World, is kind of in between part 1 and part 2.
Okay.
Of Chainsaw. So, it's very much. It's Chainsaw Massacre is definitely the most influential horror movie to me in my life, and same with Toby Hooper. Mm-hmm. So,
well, hopefully doing two every 3 years will give you the space that you need to do that. I know.
Yeah. Like, we're moving on. We're gonna. I'm getting out of clowns after this one for a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah, care to share what?
What was that called?
We got to get back to Cowboys. Brad Potts passed away since I talked to you guys, and he was the lead in Cowboys. Passed away of a heart attack, and I didn't want to do it without him, so that's why we jumped back to Circus. Because I figured none of us are getting younger, and let's do at least one more before somebody dies. Important. And we're going to come back to that. Then I'll just find somebody that can replace Brad that I respect just as much. So,
Good luck on that.
Yeah.
We tried to reach out to I'm drawing a blank on the name. You mentioned him earlier. Your partner, writing partner.
Lee.
Yes, thank you, Lee. We had reached out to him and we were trying to get him on here, but he was bouncing around in, you know, healthcare situations and just couldn't get him on. So that was sad.
You wouldn't have got the real Lee because nobody gets the real Lee. You know what I mean? He would have been on podcast Lee. Getting to the real Lee would have been the goal, Steve, especially the psychological part, because he was the most psychology speaking interesting person on the fucking planet. And to me, he's just as important and as talented as like a Kurt Cobain or a John Lennon or something. He was beautifully brilliant, but completely fucked up. You know, he just had
good combination.
He just couldn't get his would never do anybody wrong but himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't take care of himself the way he should have. So that's the best way to put it. But
yeah,
a wonderful, sweet person, and I had dreams about him again last night, you know, showing up out of the rain and stuff. And I feel like, you know, that's his way of helping with the writing and stuff. Is when I write this stuff too, this is going to sound crazy, but I put on the music and stuff I save, and I listen to it at night while I'm asleep. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, I start thinking about it again. Whatever, that's how I come up with all the stuff, is I put myself there. And I did it with the first movie too, is when I want a good ending and all this stuff, I just try to put it in the turning wheels of my brain and see what comes out. And I feel
you just
like
put it in the Cuisinart and you hit blend. There you know? Go.
And I feel like he's working on visiting me in his own way and stuff like that too. So we're trying to get his urn down here. I'm trying to get it so it'd sit next to my computer and I can still talk to him, you know, all the time. But I think about him all the time, you know, that's no lie. So I lost Brad, lost my dad, lost Lee. That's why part two needs to happen and get going, just in case, you know, somebody else, you know, God forbid. I ate lunch with Ryan Clapp yesterday, who plays Noodle Dome, and he was saying, yeah, I'm so ready for this, Billy. I'm ready to kick some ass and stuff. And he was talking about running. I go, bitch, you ain't running after no one doing anymore. I said, none of us are. I said, we're all too old now to be in that situation of
running,
chasing and killing people.
What?
But, yeah, I said, you can just throw big hammers at them or something. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's just funny to see how old we've all gotten. So.
Yeah. See, put him on a Segway.
Put him on a Segway. That way you don't have to run.
He does have a mini bike in this new one. Yeah. So
okay.
Oh.
We'll say that.
I was going to say the Segway would be worse because then he'd lose his balance and fall off and hurt himself.
Fall off, yeah. He says he can ride a mini bike good, though, so hopefully we'll find out soon on that one.
Mm-hmm. Mini bike's better. It's more clownish.
On the topic of putting on the music, how's the music stuff going?
Yeah.
You mean my band stuff? It's been on hold, but you mean the music for the movie?
Actually, I was meaning the band, but or whatever.
Well, the band, we were kind of on a hiatus or something. We just released some music, but it's music we recorded almost over a year ago, and the producer, since he was doing it as a favor and stuff, is kind of just now getting knocked down. Mm-hmm. We practice at my haunted house, which doesn't have a heater, so it gets a little cold sometimes. So we have been playing together, but we did talk the other day about getting together and playing again. So her kid, my 16-year-old stepkid, plays bass for us now, and it's good for him to be in there because he can, in his band, he's kind of the leader. And in our band, he's just a greenhorn. So he's learning a lot from the band business from some old jackasses that argue all the time. So it's good for him to learn that away. So, and we make him do a lot of the muscle work since he wants to play so bad. So.
Got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
Now, the music for Circus is I feel like I've kind of stuck to the 20s and the 30s pretty strictly. You know, now there'll be some other things in the movie, but, you know, Gene Austin, things like that. It's just, I've been really stuck into that old stuff. It just feels like Papa's era, what would be in his head and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know the few people, because I might be one of the few people in the world that liked that Joker 2 movie. But I thought it was like, I guess that brain stuff takes me on a ride sometimes. And if it can hook me without boring me, then boy, I'm usually happy for it being a little bit different. But Circus 2 isn't a musical, but music is a very important part in this one for sure.
Cool. Well, we got about 10 minutes left. You got anything recent coming up that you want people to go check out?
Now, I tell them to keep supporting indie film altogether is if you're at a convention and you see a film you never heard of and they don't have many people there, go by and talk to them. Yeah. You'd be surprised how nice they are. Same thing if you see somebody, you know, saying give to their GoFundMe or something, you know, put in $20 and get a DVD, do that. You'd
it's
be surprised.
$20. You're going to spend that on lunch.
Yeah, that's what I mean, even if not more. I mean, we'll take more. We'll take thousands. But
yeah.
You know, usually you get a DVD and we'll sign it for you or something. And some of those don't even finish and come through, you know. So just appreciate people that are doing their movie. Not all of them are great, but they're all trying really hard.
Yeah.
And there's so many movies now out on Tubi and stuff like that. It's just people making their own movies. And they're definitely, like myself, being amateurish. Mm. So I think it's important to support indie horror, you know, all around. So
yeah.
At least pat them on the back.
Yeah.
At least that.
Speaking of which, my co-host here, Chris Whitman, has a horror-themed webcomic at piecesofflesh.com.
Oh, all right.
Do you guys want to check it out?
Yeah, send me a deal. Thing. I'll check it out. What is it, a graphic novel?
Yeah, it's an ongoing graphic novel. It's the main story is set in 2005. It's about a Texas Chainsaw-esque found family of cannibal leper ghouls that worship a demon god and kill people and take their body parts to replace their body parts that fall off. And the comic is a series of background stories of each one of the characters based throughout from the 40s up to the 80s.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you do the story and the draw it and all that stuff? What all did you do? Everything?
Everything. Yep.
That's indie horror right there in a nutshell. It's like you go from directing a movie to snaking a toilet in the afternoon, you know.
Yeah, right? Many hats.
Yes.
Spread mayonnaise on a sandwich for Jumbo the Clown.
So. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the reason that we have this as in the time frame that we do is because in about 30 minutes, Chris hosts a live stream of himself on our Discord server where he draws the webcomic and then chats with people on the Discord server, too.
Oh, so, right on.
So that's why we...
We're too old to know really what the Discord...
That's the way things are moving. Yeah, I still stick around the Facebooks, but all the kids are moving to Discord, it seems.
Yeah.
I can't keep up. I'm good with TikTok. That's right. I'm done.
Okay. If you, like Frightmare, they take like a... They have like 500 VIP bags. And if you can afford it, that's a good place to drop your stuff sometimes if you want to get your name and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's pretty good about that, especially for a comic or something cool.
Yeah.
I'll throw DVDs in them before, and I got a lot of fans that way. I've done trucker hats before. And
yeah.
I'm trying to talk.
This year we're doing something really cool. We're doing I made these.
Let me get one.
Yeah, you got one.
Let me find
we
it.
We made these pullover popcorn masks.
Mm. Nice. And
I was going to call it a popcorn rape mask, but. Yeah.
No,
that's a bit of a PR nightmare, is what they would call that.
Yeah, I'm PR and no.
Yeah.
Like, so Manus Melby's no.
He said grape mask with a G. It's a grape mask.
Yes.
Yeah,
it
grape mask.
Cracks me up whenever you put them
but
on.
But see, it looks like these things
nice.
Here. Let me see.
Your nose is always so
perfect.
Off. There you go.
But see, it's not bad though.
I think it is so.
Actually, it's not bad.
The new ones are white, and it looks like his face is in his own cowl.
Yeah, the new ones are even cooler. This is we should wear this while you drive because you can see through it.
You can see through. No. Yeah, it's mesh. That's great.
They would freak out.
Just pulling it like off at a stoplight, like.
Yeah, we would be on the Ask Midland in 2 seconds.
Well, I got these for but I got some white ones coming, but I had to order them. I had them made in Pakistan.
Okay.
And they sent out the same damn day as that war started, so now they're dragging ass.
Yeah.
So they're still in Pakistan.
So then I got to put all these faces on all of them and get them to Lloyd at Frightmare before he kills me.
Mm.
But I think they'd be pretty fun, though. But I'll have an extra 100 I'll put up on my Etsy store.
Cool.
So see, so if you get a VIP bag at Frightmare, you get cool stuff like this.
I've been trying to talk Chris into joining me for... StokerCon 2023 up here in Pittsburgh. They're doing their 10th.
2026.
What did I say? I went in 2023. Would like to go again.
Time travel if you want to.
Well, yes. Planning on going again here in 2026. It's their 10th anniversary, and it's only like a 2-hour drive for me, and Chris could fly up there. But yeah,
you're a lot of fun, Chris, and it gets your name out there. Just one fan at a time. Shake their hand.
Yeah,
give them something for free. They appreciate it.
Well,
it's a sticker or something.
Like you were saying about the bags, you know, there's a I can't think of the right word.
I like that idea.
Well, you have to be like a vendor or a donor or something like that. And
probably, yeah.
Once you, we have to talk to them about it, basically, but can put stickers and stuff like that in the bag.
But there's so many events, and they would welcome VIP stuff. And for you guys having your own podcast, you could go do media stuff and walk around and talk to people, dude.
Yeah.
Very potential. Yep. Nice. Cool. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. And thank you to everybody else hanging out in chat as well. Like I said, if you guys are on Discord and want to come see Chris draw his webcomic, we'll be doing that in about 30 minutes on Discord.
Don't eat it.
Can't take you anywhere.
No, you really can't.
I was just telling Steve about this scene in Circus One where he's like making Don a pinky promise or something like that, and then he smells his pinky.
he leaves it cut off. This is his only glove that's cut off because the girls before he grapes them, he checks under the hood.
So freaking disgusting, Billy. God.
That's what you call writing right there. This is character development.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, Chris.
It's all here.
Chris asked if we were going to try to like self censor on these calls, and I'm just like, yeah, no, this is getting demonetized left and right and center.
There is no. Not possible. Yeah, part two is going to have trouble getting on regular stuff. There's definitely going to be a cut version, an uncut version on that one.
Nice.
I'm sure there'll be jokes about that too.
Yeah. Circumcised and uncircumcised.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, you know, his penis was in the first one. Since then, he's grown a couple of sores. So that you'll see.
Oh, good. Part two, okay? He's got more character.
Yeah.
Times have been good or bad.
Character or flavor?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if any of you heard that.
Also, the term is texture. It's texture, not flavor.
Yeah, it is. Or both.
Both probably flavor, too. We are thinking way too much of this.
Somebody said, they always asked me if it was real. I go, it didn't taste real.
I'll take your word for it. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I think we...
imagine 500 of these at Frightmare. If everybody puts them on at Frightmare and wears them around, that's going to be a hell of a cool thing.
Everybody's like, not going to put them on, though.
It'd be like V for Vendetta, but with popcorns. Yes.
Well, I should have done it next time Art the Clown's there and say, everybody gets one, walk by the Art the Clown table wearing it, and flip them
Or just stand there and stare at them, just menacing them.
Yeah,
I like that one better.
Or just a line of like 10 or 15 people.
Wave every now and then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should probably get to stopping here because if we go too long, I think they're going to kick us off here.
All right.
Yeah.
It's cool. Good to catch up, guys.
It was nice to meet you.
If we do make it down to Texas, we will definitely stop in and say hi.
And yeah, we'll come see you guys. Yeah, stay in touch so we finish this. Y'all get out to the premiere.
Will do.
Definitely.
All right, guys. See y'all later.
Okay. Bye. Have a good night.
Good night.